reflection that guide both heart and mind. A better life through faith we'll find. A better life through faith we'll find. Reflections for the better life.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil mursaleen. Amma ba'd fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa salatu wa salamu alayka ya Rasulallah. Wa salatu wa salamu alayka ya Habiballah. Wa salatu wa salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah. Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Noorallah. Dear viewers of Madaneen channel, welcome back to another fantastic episode on the silsila Reflections for a Better Life, in which we discuss those different aspects in order for us to change our life for the better, in order so that we may improve our lifestyle. And mashallah, for today we do have a brilliant topic of discussion, and that is regarding hoards of a treasure. Yes, behind this there is a very beautiful incident, a very beautiful parable, which we will discuss as we journey along today's episode, inshallah. But before that, let us first and foremost mention the excellences of reciting salawat upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which our beloved master Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has very beautifully mentioned that the one who recites salawat upon me 10 times in the morning and 10 times in the evening, that person will find my shafa'ah, my intercession, on the day of Qiyamah. So let us all collectively, with full of love, send salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, viewers of Madaneen channel, first and foremost, we thank our most merciful creator, our most forgiving creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for granting you and I yet another opportunity, another chance, another privilege, so that we may turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we may repent sincerely in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and most importantly, so that we, you and I, may show shukr, thanks and gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Gratitude is something that takes you and I a very, very long way in life. It grants you prosperity, it grants you barakah in this world, it grants you success in this world, in the qabr and in the hereafter. So whenever someone asks you, how are you doing, how's your day going, and hypothetically speaking, if you are, you know, going through a tough day, still say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen ala kulli hal. And when you do this, you would see how much of barakah and blessings Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places in your life. Because the Quran teaches us, the more you are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant to you and will increase His favors upon you. So always get into the habit of showing thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as the viewers of Madaneen channel, we are discussing this beautiful topic, hoards of treasures. And I have mentioned that I am going to be mentioning to you a beautiful parable with relation to this. And then we will understand what do we actually mean by hoards of treasures. Now, during the Khilafat of Sayyidina Umar al-Faruq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the Muslim army, they achieved victory in the Battle of Qadisiyah. And Sayyidina Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was the commander-in-chief of the Muslim army. And during the battle, 30,000 fire worshippers were killed, while 8,000 Muslims were martyred. And after the victory of Qadisiyah, Sayyidina Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu chased the fire worshippers until they reached Babil, conquering all the surrounding areas. Now, Madain, the capital of Iran, was situated in the nearby eastern bank of the river Tigris. And on the instructions of Sayyidina Umar al-Faruq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Sayyidina Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he headed towards Madain. The fire worshippers, they broke the bridge of the river and they took all the boats to the other side. Now, at that time, there was a storm in the river, and it was apparently impossible to cross it. Now, Sayyidina Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he observed the situation. He saw he knew the storm was there. He saw it. He rode his horse into the river, trusting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And following him, the other Muslim mujahideen did the same as well. Now, when the enemies saw that the Muslim mujahideen were advancing fearlessly through the storm water of the river Tigris, they were shocked, they were taken aback, and they started screaming that giants have come, giants have come. And Yazgird, who was the son of the Iranian king, he had already sent the female members of his family with a part of his treasure to Hulwan. And he also ran away. And he ran away looking at the deserted city of Madain. When Sayyidina Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu entered the city, there was dead silence, absolute dead silence all around. You know, the majestic but empty palaces of Kisra, other tall and high buildings and beautiful gardens, lush gardens, they were all indicating the impermanence of the world. And seeing this, Sayyidina Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he spontaneously recited an ayah, a verse from the Holy Quran, in which it is mentioned, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Kam taraku min jannatin wa uyun wa zuru'in wa maqamin kareem wa na'matin kanu fiha fakihin kadhalik wa awrathnaha qawman akharin fama bakat alayhim as-samaa wal ardu wa ma kanu munzarin. That how many gardens and water springs they have left behind, and fields and nice houses and favors amongst which they were free from care. This is what we did, and we made another nation their heirs. So the heavens and the earth did not cry for them, and they were not given respite. This was the ayah, the verse that Sayyidina Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu had recited. After the conquest, the Muslims, they found millions of dinars, which is gold coins, as Mali Ghanimat from Madain. And besides, you know, there were many extremely valuable and precious objects, including the gold crown of Nushairwan, who is the famous fire-worshipping Iranian king. They found diamond-studded knives of the former Iranian kings, the statue of a horse made of pure gold with its front studded with rubies, a gold rider with a gold crown on his head, a gold she-camel with a gold rider, and a 60 square feet gold carpet adorned with exquisite and expensive gems and jewels, etc., you name it. So the Muslims, they collected the Mali Ghanimat so honestly that there is no such example in history. Whether a mujahid found a needle or a precious diamond, he put it in the hoard of treasures without hesitation. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So, TVs of Madani Channel, have you seen how our pious predecessors took audacious steps for the survival of Islam? Now, this parable, it shows the unprecedented saintly miracle of Sayyidina Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. What did he do? What was the miracle that he displayed? He rode his horse fiercely through the violent waves of the river Tigris. And subhanAllah, from this we also learn that a hoard of treasure, no matter how huge, eventually it turns out to be useless, futile. You know, there was a man from Bani Israel, a very rich man, right? The summary of the story is that Sayyidina Yazid bin Maysara, rahimahullah, he said that in some ancient ummah, there was a rich and miserly man who wouldn't spend anything in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but rather he would continue multiplying and accumulating his wealth days and nights, TVs of Madani Channel, days and nights of that unwise, of that greedy person, were passing in luxury, in extreme heedlessness with his family, having fun and enjoying life. So once somebody came and knocked at his door. One of his slaves, they opened the door and they saw a beggar standing outside. The slave asked him the reason, why have you come? The beggar replied that, go and send your master to me, I have to talk to him. Allahu Akbar. The slave lied and said that he has gone out to help a beggar like you. So that beggar now was at the door, he went away. After a short while, there was another knock at the door. The slave opened the door and found the same beggar again. And this time it was different. This time, the beggar said, go and tell your master that I am the angel of death. This person, the master, that rich person, he was having fun with his life. He was intoxicated with his wealth. And it struck him. You know, he started to tremble in fear. And he said to his slaves that go and treat him in a very polite and humble way. Allahu Akbar. The slaves, they came out and they requested that, you know what, please leave our master, spare him, take the soul of somebody else. Angel of death, he said, it's not possible at all. Then he said to the rich man that make your will if you want. I would not return without taking your soul. And the rich man, his family, they started screaming, cried out that the wealthy person asked his family members and slaves to bring the boxes of gold and silver and open them up. All of them, they all carried out his order instantly. And there was a hoard of treasures that he had accumulated throughout his entire life. He looked towards his treasure and he said that curse be on you. I am ruined. I'm destroyed because of your love. I mean, I remain heedless of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I've been heedless of the hereafter just because of you. And as he's saying this, all of a sudden, a voice came from that hoard of treasure that, why do you curse me? Were you not contemptible in the eyes of materialists? It is me that made you respectable, enabling you to have access to the court. You married a rich woman because of me. You yourself wasted me on evil things. And if you had spent me in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you would not have confronted this humiliation and disgrace. Now tell me, did I prevent you from spending me in virtuous things, in good things? No, I didn't, not at all. You alone are responsible for all the destructiveness you are facing. Thereafter, the angel of death took his soul of that miserly rich person. Allah Akbar. Ibn Madani channel, this parable of a person who was infatuated with wealth, was in love, absorbed, drowned in wealth. So in love with it, he remained occupied throughout his life, just fulfilling his carnal desires, accumulating wealth. Instead of benefiting from divinely given respite, he became even more and more heedless. Got intoxicated by the love of wealth. He always avoided helping the destitute, the poor, the needy. And he indulged in enjoying himself, enjoying life. Eventually, the angel of death came, bringing him to his senses. And although, you know, the intoxication of wealth died down, nothing could have been done at that time. Now this parable, it also contains a lesson of admonition for those who are greedy for wealth and oblivious of ruining their worldly life as well as the hereafter. Allahu Akbar. You know, it's a fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at times subjects a person to an ordeal by bestowing wealth upon him. Like it is mentioned that good health and excessive wealth, a lot of wealth often leads one to indulge in sins, in a lot of sins. So those who possess good health or wealth or have authority should fear the hidden plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, Sayyidina Hassan Basri rahimahullah, a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he so beautifully said that if a person possesses ample sustenance, obedient children, wealth, good health, status, respect, property, or position in the government, but he does not fear the hidden plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such a person is heedless of the hidden plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. So everyone, no matter what your position is, no matter what rank you may have in society, no matter what wealth you may have, whatever the case may be, every single one of us, dear viewers of Madani Channel, must fear the hidden plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, lest favors be granted in the form of wealth, the strong body or official position in a government department, etc., cause oppression, arrogance, defiance, and various sins, and that resulting in the beautiful and perfect body with immense wealth being buried in the fire of hell. Allah. You know, in the Holy Quran, subhanallah, so beautifully it's mentioned. But before that, I want to mention to you a beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that when you see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bestowing such favors upon a sinful person in the world which he likes, it is then a mere respite from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited an ayah from the Holy Quran, in which it is mentioned, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ. Then, when they forget the admonition made to them, we open to them the doors of all things until when they became delighted at what they were given. Then we seize them suddenly. Now they were left in despair. Allahu Akbar. And Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Naimi rahimahullah, he has mentioned a very beautiful commentary, a very beautiful tafsir under this ayah. He says that we have learned that getting worldly luxuries despite persistence of sins, and this is something for all of us to really, really ponder about, because it often happens that we look at those who are wealthy, you know, who are enjoying life, and we think them to be so fortunate, so blessed, and that and it happens where a person disregards themselves in the process. Now, here it's important that we understand this. Inshallah, this will remove our negative thinking. Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Naimi rahimahullah says that getting worldly luxuries, we learn from this, getting worldly luxuries despite persistence of sins may also be the wrath and punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the person becomes heedless and indulges fearlessly in sins due to his luxurious possessions. And at times, he is under the impression that, you know, sin is good. Otherwise, I would not be receiving such bounties. Allahu Akbar. Remember that such a notion is kufr. That it implies that considering a sin as a sin is fard. And deliberately considering or declaring a sin as good, that is kufr. And we have to learn about these views of Madani Channel. And Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Naimi rahimahullah, he further says that to rejoice at any divine favor, showing arrogance and boastfulness is disliked, as it is a practice of the kuffar, of the unbelievers. But if it is aimed at expressing gratitude, then it is good. And subhanallah, it is an attribute, a beautiful quality of the pious. You know, every worldly blessings, every worldly boon comes with a bane. You know, the more favors and luxuries a person enjoys in the world, the more troubles he will be facing in the hereafter. Like the heedless rich person, when questioned about worldly wealth and possessions, etc., and reprimanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for misusing wealth on the day of Qiyamah, will realize that though he was a rich person in this world, he is a destitute one in the akhirah, in the hereafter. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that those who have more wealth will have less reward on the day of Qiyamah, except him whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives wealth which he spends in charity to his right, left, front, and back, and performs good deeds with it. Subhanallah. And in the Holy Quran, it is mentioned, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. The translation of this from Kanzul Iman is that then, on that day, you will surely be questioned regarding the bounties. And here again, Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Na'imi rahimahullah has mentioned the commentary of the so beautifully. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, all the angels would question you about favors on the plains of mahshar, favors on the plains of resurrection, or on the brink of hell. You'll be questioned about each and every divine blessing, whether it is a physical blessing or a spiritual blessing, whether it was obtained for meeting a need or for enjoying a luxury or comfort. Questions will be asked even about cold water, even about the shade of a tree, even about a peaceful sleep. Allahu Akbar. All of these views of Madani channel, you and I, we are going to be questioned about it. And he continues further. He says that after death, accountability will take place three times at three different places. The first is the test of Iman in the grave. The second is test of Iman and deeds on the day of Qiyamah. And the third, accountability of gratitude for favors on the brink of hell. Anything granted to any person without him being deserving of it is a favor. Everything granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a favor, you know, whether it is a physical or a spiritual one. There are two types of favors. It's important for us to understand this. There are two types of favors. One is kasbi, the other is wahabi. Kasbi favors are obtained by making efforts, example, wealth, rule, etc. While wahabi favors are simply granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like our body parts, the moon, the sun, etc. These are wahabi favors granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Kasbi favors, we put in that effort. Now these questions, three questions, will be asked regarding kasbi favors. How were they obtained? Number one. How were they spent? Number two. What gratitude was expressed for them? And the last two questions will be asked regarding wahabi favors. That is, favors obtained without personal efforts. How were they spent? What gratitude was expressed for them? Now here, it is stated that the word an-na'im mentioned in this ayah to the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is to say that we will be questioned as to whether we followed him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in fact the fountainhead of all favors. All favors are divine mercies for one whose heart is illuminated with the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And unfortunately, the heart which is empty of the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all favors for him are troubles. For example, look at the wealth of Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu. It was a mercy, it was a rahmah. But that of Abu Jahl was a trouble. The wealth of Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a mercy, but that of the accursed Abu Jahl was a trouble. Now, amassing lawful wealth is not a sin. This is something that we must understand. It's not to say that a person mustn't be rich. It's not to say that a person mustn't collect wealth. No. Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was one of the most wealthiest Sahabi companion people at that time. One of the wealthiest person at that time. Same with Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu. If we have to convert it in this time, we can say multi-millionaires. That's how wealthy they were. But what did they do with their wealth? First and foremost, we have to understand that they obtained their wealth from halal sources, from halal lawful means. Where did they spend their wealth? In the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the sake of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for the sake of deen, they spend their wealth helping people, those who are in need, those who were destitute, those who were poor. Those who are orphaned, they spend their wealth helping people like these. And together with that, strengthening the deen of Islam. So amassing lawful wealth is not a sin, but and declaring a wealthy person as a sinner simply owing to his wealth is not permissible, right? If somebody has become wealthy by earning 100% lawful wealth and has spent it obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he will deserve reward in this world and in the hereafter without becoming a sinner at all. So, if acquiring wealth is a must, then one should gain it, but only by halal means, only by lawful means. However, it is safer to acquire only as much wealth as needed because one will be held accountable for his lawful earnings. And no one will be able to confront the severity of accountability on the day of Qiyamah. Like Imam Al-Ghazali rahimahullah, he has mentioned that on the day of Qiyamah, a person will be brought who will have acquired haram, unlawful wealth, and spent it unlawfully. It will be commanded that take him to hell, take him to Jahannam. Then another person will be called who will have acquired halal, lawful wealth, but spent it unlawfully. It will be commanded take him also to hell. Allahu Akbar. Then one more person will be brought who will have acquired unlawful wealth and spent it lawfully. It will be commanded take him also to hell. Then the fourth person, he will be brought and he will have acquired lawful wealth and spent it lawfully. It will be commanded stop. You may not have properly fulfilled any fard because of acquiring wealth. You may not have offered salah in time. And you may not have properly performed ruku, sujood, and wudu. And he would say, oh Allah, I gained wealth lawfully and spent it lawfully. And I did not miss any obligation. It will be said that you may have been arrogant due to this wealth. You may have shown arrogance about your vehicle or clothing. He would say, oh Allah, I have not displayed arrogance and expressed, nor have I expressed any pride. It will be said that you may have violated the rights of relatives, orphans, destitutes, and travelers. He would say, Ya Allah, I have not done any such thing. I earned lawfully, I spent lawfully, and I have not missed any obligation. I neither showed arrogance, nor violated the right of anyone whose right you ordered me to fulfill. Then all those people would come and quarrel with him, saying that, oh Allah, you blessed him with wealth and made him wealthy and commanded him to give some of his wealth to us and help us. And then if he has helped them without missing any obligation and without showing arrogance and pride, he will still be prevented and questioned. Whatever favor I bestowed upon you, whether it was food, whether it was water, or any pleasure, express gratitude for it. In the same way, he will be asked one question after another. Allahu Akbar. Now let me summarize in my own words what Sayyidina Imam Al-Ghazali rahimahullah has said, you know, with regards to this narration. That he was of Madinah, inshallah, you tell me, who would be able to answer these questions? Note that questions will be asked only to those who will have acquired wealth by lawful means. Even those who will have entirely fulfilled all rights and obligations will face accountability. Then what will become of us who are trapped in worldly conflicts, in suspicious things, doubtful things, carnal desires, luxuries, attractions, and beauties? Now, fearing the very same questioning and accountability, the pious people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they refrain from being polluted by worldly wealth. They are content with only a few worldly belongings that would satisfy their needs and they would perform good deeds with them. Allahu Akbar. And subhanallah, Imam Al-Ghazali rahimahullah, he says that you should follow those pious people. If you are not inclined to follow them, assuming that you are pious, and careful and are acquiring only lawful wealth with the purpose of avoiding destitution, so that you do not have to beg from anyone for anything, and are able to spend wealth in the divine path without wasting it in sinful and useless things. So this is actually a mistaken idea. Likewise, if you're under the impression that you will not be deviated by your wealth from the path liked by Allah Ta'ala, and that Allah Ta'ala is not also displeased with you due to any of your apparent or concealed deed, so this is only an assumption which is impossible. If it is considered possible, then you should still remain content with only as much wealth as you need. Staying away from the wealthy, its greatest benefit is that you will not be prevented for accountability and questioning on the day of Qiyamah, and will follow Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his sunnah. Subhanallah, you will follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the very first caravan, whereas the wealthy will be prevented for accountability. After the accountability, one will either attain salvation or face hardships, either one of the two. And we have heard that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that the poor muhajireen will enter Jannah, will enter paradise 500 years before the rich muhajireen. Allahu Akbar. So we need to really think, viewers of Madani Channel. We should not be of those who are lost in wealth, who only want to accumulate. Rather, we should be content with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for us. If Allah ta'ala blessed you with wealth, use that wealth in a good way. Use that wealth to spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he sent a letter to Sayyidina Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He said, "Oh my brother, don't accumulate so many worldly things that you cannot, you know, express gratitude for them." He says that I have heard Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say that on the day of Qiyamah, a wealthy person who would have spent his life obeying Allah ta'ala will be brought. While crossing the bridge of Sirat, he will find his wealth in front of him. When he stumbles, his wealth will say to him, "Move forward, because you have fulfilled the right of Allah Ta'ala from me." Then another person who would not have fulfilled the rights of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala in the world, from his wealth will be brought. His wealth will be placed between both of his shoulders. He will stumble on the bridge of Sirat. That bridge, which is sharper than the edge of a sword, thinner than a strand of hair, this person will stumble on the bridge of Sirat, and his wealth will say to him that, "You are ruined. You are doomed. Why did you not fulfill the right of Allah Ta'ala from me?" Thus, he will continue calling his destructiveness and his ruin. Allahu Akbar. So yes, Divis of Madinah, this is something that, you know, it is really an eye-opener for you and I, that we should not only focus on accumulating wealth. You know, nowadays, everyone runs after wealth. Everyone is looking for more and more wealth. Rather, we need to spend our time looking to do more and more deeds. These are our investments for our hereafter, for our akhirah. This wealth is going to help us here in this dunya. And that wealth, which you spend in charity, in sadaqah, to help someone, to donate, to give zakat, these will help you. This kind of a good deed by using your wealth in a good way will help you in this world and on the day of Qiyamah as well. So from this we learn, Divis of Madani Channel, that we should not become greedy. Because greed, it has the possibility of destroying the iman of a person. Those who accumulate wealth, I mean, history bears testimony to this fact. You know, in the past we've seen, it's there. Facts are there, documents are there. People who got ruined because of how they got so absorbed in the love for wealth, in gold, silver, they got drowned in it. Take for instance, Bal'am bin Ba'ura. He was a pious individual. Whatever dua he would make, it would be accepted. Such was his piety that people would come to him, "Please make dua for me, please make dua for me." Allahu Akbar. But his end, what was his end? His end was ruined, completely destroyed, because he saw wealth, he fell in love with it, and that ruined him. And it is mentioned that Bal'am bin Ba'ura, he will enter the fire of Jahannam in the form and shape of a dog. Which dog? The dog from Ashabul Kahf. And the dog of Ashabul Kahf will enter Jannah in the form and shape of Bal'am bin Ba'ura. Allahu Akbar. The iman of Bal'am bin Ba'ura was taken away because he got so absorbed in wealth, so in love with wealth, that he went to make dua against a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from this we see how wealth can make a person indulge in so much of sin. So yes, the views of Madani Channel, we need to be from those who, when Allah ta'ala blesses you with wealth, spend that wealth for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Somebody come to you and says that, you know what, I'm in debt, I need some help, I got this to pay, I can't manage, can you help me? If you have the means, if you have the money, help the brother out, help the person out, help your fellow Muslim, and you will see its reward. Allah ta'ala will reward you for that. Of course, your intention, your niyyah, it must be sincere. And this is how we have to be, views of Madani Channel. We have to be moderate, not so, not too extreme. So yes, this is a very, very delicate topic of discussion. But if we really reflect upon it, then we can improve our life. We can change our life for the better, inshallah. And this is something for you and I, for all of us, to reflect upon. And as of now, the views of Madani Channel, we do have a very beautiful kalam in the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let us go in order to rejuvenate our hearts, minds, bodies and soul in the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Go and listen to this beautiful kalam, and thereafter we will be back to discuss much further into this beautiful topic, inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ye ek jaan kya hai agar ho karodo, ye ek jaan kya hai agar ho karodo, tere nab par sabko wara karu main. آپ پر قربان میری جان یا رسول اللہ آقا فدا کا یا رسول اللہ آقا فدا کا یا حبیب اللہ آقا فدا کا یا رسول اللہ آقا فدا کا یا حبیب اللہ آقا ہے آرزو ہماری ہے جستجو ہماری ہے آرزو ہماری ہے جستجو ہماری نبی پہ جائے صدقے نبی پہ جائے واری نبی پہ جائے صدقے نبی پہ جائے واری
کہتے ہیں برملا ہم مایوس کیوں پھرے ہم کہتے ہیں برملا ہم مایوس کیوں پھرے ہم سرکار کے گدا ہیں کوئی نہیں ہمیں غم سرکار کے گدا ہیں کوئی نہیں ہمیں غم کوئی نہیں ہمیں غم قسمت ہے یہ ہماری ہر دم غلب پر جاری قسمت ہے یہ ہماری ہر دم غلب پر جاری
نبی پہ جائے صدقے نبی پہ جائے واری نبی پہ جائے صدقے نبی پہ جائے واری
آپ پر قربان میری جان یا رسول اللہ آقا
فدا کا یا رسول اللہ آقا فدا کا یا حبیب اللہ آقا فدا کا یا رسول اللہ آقا فدا کا یا حبیب اللہ آقا ہے آرزو ہماری ہے جستجو ہماری ہے آرزو ہماری ہے جستجو ہماری نبی پہ جائے صدقے نبی پہ جائے واری نبی پہ جائے صدقے نبی پہ جائے واری
رنجو علم ہمارے سب دور ہو گئے ہیں رنجو علم ہمارے سب دور ہو گئے ہیں ہم ذکر مصطفیٰ سے مسرور ہو گئے ہیں ہم ذکر مصطفیٰ سے مسرور ہو گئے ہیں مسرور ہو گئے آقا سزا ہے یہ ہماری چھوڑے ہم دنیا داری سزا ہے یہ ہماری چھوڑے ہم دنیا داری
نبی بھیجا ہے صدقے نبی بھیجا ہے واری نبی بھیجا ہے صدقے نبی بھیجا ہے واری
آپ پر قربان میری جان یا رسول اللہ آقا
فدا کا یا رسول اللہ آقا فدا کا یا حبیب اللہ آقا فدا کا یا رسول اللہ آقا فدا کا یا حبیب اللہ آقا سارے میں تمہارے ہیں قسمت یہ ہماری ہے قربان دل و جان ہے کیا شان تمہاری ہے
خوش نصیب جن کو حاصل ہے ان کی نسبت وہ خوش نصیب جن کو حاصل ہے ان کی نسبت پاتے ہیں چین و راحت کرتے ہیں ان کی مدحت پاتے ہیں چین و راحت کرتے ہیں ان کی مدحت کرتے ہیں ان کی آقا کہتی ہے دنیا ساری حسرت ہے یہ ہماری کہتی ہے دنیا ساری حسرت ہے یہ ہماری
نبی بھیجا ہے صدقے نبی بھیجا ہے واری نبی بھیجا ہے صدقے نبی بھیجا ہے واری
آپ پر قربان میری جان یا رسول اللہ آقا
فدا کا یا رسول اللہ آقا فدا کا یا حبیب اللہ آقا فدا کا یا رسول اللہ آقا فدا کا یا حبیب اللہ آقا ہے آرزو ہماری ہے جستجو ہماری ہے آرزو ہماری ہے جستجو ہماری نبی بھیجا ہے صدقے نبی بھیجا ہے واری نبی بھیجا ہے صدقے نبی بھیجا ہے واری
ذکر نبی سے اپنے سینے کو جگمگائے ذکر نبی سے اپنے سینے کو جگمگائے دربار مصطفیٰ میں سر اپنا ہم جھکائے دربار مصطفیٰ میں سر اپنا ہم جھکائے سر اپنا ہم جھکائے ہو اشک ندامت کے آنکھوں سے اپنی جاری ہو اشک ندامت کے آنکھوں سے اپنی جاری
نبی بھیجا ہے صدقے نبی بھیجا ہے واری نبی بھیجا ہے صدقے نبی بھیجا ہے واری
آپ پر قربان میری جان یا رسول اللہ آقا
فدا کا یا رسول اللہ آقا فدا کا یا حبیب اللہ آقا فدا کا یا رسول اللہ آقا فدا کا یا حبیب اللہ آقا سارے میں تمہارے ہیں قسمت یہ ہماری ہے قربان دل و جان ہے شان تمہاری ہے
یہ پنج تن کی الفت اصحاب سے محبت یہ پنج تن کی الفت اصحاب سے محبت غوث البارا کی چاہت مرشد سے یہ عقیدت غوث البارا کی چاہت مرشد سے یہ عقیدت مرشد سے یہ عقیدت محسن یہ جانی ساری قائم رہے ہماری محسن گے جانے ساری قائم رہے ہماری
نبی بھیجا ہے صدقے نبی بھیجا ہے واری نبی بھیجا ہے صدقے نبی بھیجا ہے واری
آپ پر قربان میری جان یا رسول اللہ آقا
فدا کا یا رسول اللہ آقا فدا کا یا حبیب اللہ آقا فدا کا یا رسول اللہ آقا فدا کا یا حبیب اللہ آقا ہے آرزو ہماری ہے جستجو ہماری ہے آرزو ہماری ہے جستجو ہماری نبی بھیجا ہے صدقے نبی بھیجا ہے واری نبی بھیجا ہے صدقے نبی بھیجا ہے واری
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم سبحان اللہ سبحان اللہ I'm sure that Each and every one of us, we have enjoyed this melodious kalam in the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us all the complete love for His beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and grant all of us the ability to implement the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into our lives. Ameen ya Rabbul Alameen. Alhamdulillah, dear viewers of Madinah Channel, coming back to our topic of discussion, in which we are discussing hoards of treasures. And by this, and now I'm sure we have understood what we mean by this. And essentially, we are talking about accumulating wealth and being greedy over it. And that makes a person heedless of the real purpose in this dunya. That makes a person heedless of the hereafter as well. You know, we have to understand that our purpose in this world, our purpose in this dunya is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to obey Allah ta'ala and follow the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one who wants to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, loving not just by lip service, but by actions as well. That's true love. When you love someone, you copy and paste their actions, you copy and paste their saying, whatever they do, you want to do. That's true love. And that's the kind of love we need to have for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, dear viewers of Madinah Channel, most people today, they are greedy and they're crazy, fanatics about accumulating wealth and hoarding it. No matter how much troubles they face, they tend and intend to tread the thorny path of accumulating wealth. If their attention is ever drawn towards the accumulation of the wealth of good deeds for the betterment of their own afterlife, they turn it down using the pretext, "I'm too busy, I've got my business to look after." They forget their future afterlife, putting the efforts into improving the worldly future of their family. They're always thinking about the worldly education and weddings of their children. And regarding this, I want to highlight to you that during the final moments of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Sayyidina Maslama bin Abdul Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu came to him and said, "Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, you are departing from this world after you have lived a unique life. You have 13 children, but you have left no wealth or possessions for them in inheritance." Subhanallah, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that, "I have not deprived my children, I have not deprived my offspring of their rights, nor have I given them anything violating the rights of others. Now my children have two conditions. If they obey Allah Ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will sustain him, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sustains the righteous people. If they disobey Allah Ta'ala, then I don't care how they will pass their lives financially." Allahu Akbar. Remember that if someone has worldly wealth, it is mandatory for him to leave it for the fulfillment of the need of his offspring, rather than spend it in sadaqah, in charity. Now, the unreasonable enthusiasm for the unnecessary accumulation of worldly wealth is not worth appreciating. You know, the way to attain salvation for the person who is blessed with a lot of wealth, worldly wealth by Allah Ta'ala, is that he should increase the wealth of his good deeds. How? By spending his wealth on good actions, obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, he said that, "Do not make the world your master, otherwise it will enslave you." He says, "Let your wealth be saved by the one who does not waste it, and one who has worldly treasures fears losing it due to theft or robbery. But one who has had his wealth saved by Allah Ta'ala, how? By spending it on charity, has no fear of losing it." Allahu Akbar. We worry so much about losing our wealth. We worry so much, you know, about if we don't make a profit and if we have to incur some loss. Then we get all worried. We get all tensed. and we can't eat properly, we can't sleep properly, we get anxiety, we get restless, just because of losing a few bucks, because of losing just a few pennies. But have you ever thought and reflected on this, that you know what, the greatest wealth I have, the greatest wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to me is my iman. Iman is the greatest treasure, the greatest wealth for a believer. To what extent do we go to protect this wealth of ours, which is iman? Those who have wealth, not all, illa mashallah, you get a few exceptions here and there, but we see they disobey their parents, drink, etc. And these are one of the causes for a person to have a bad death, a bad end. Disobeying one's parents leads to a bad end. Drinking alcohol leads to a bad end. We need to protect this treasure of ours, which is iman. And regarding worldly wealth, there's a narration. It is mentioned that a sadaqah, it prevents 70 types of calamities. And the least calamity of which is the decaying of the body, meaning leprosy and white spots. Subhanallah, sadaqah, the viewers of Madani channel, it removes, it diverts, it averts calamities. Now, Sayyidina Imam Abdullah bin Asad Yafi, rahimahullah, he has mentioned, he has reported that there was a woman who gave food to a needy person for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. And with her son, she headed towards the field to give food to her husband. On the way, a beast came, attacked the child, and was about to swallow him, when suddenly a hand appeared from the unseen and hit the beast so hard that it rescued the child. Then a voice from the unseen was heard that, "O pious woman, O virtuous woman, take your child with you safe and sound. We have bestowed upon you a morsel in exchange for a morsel. That is, you provided a poor person with a morsel, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected your child from becoming the morsel of that beast." Allah, look at the stories of Madani channel. Truly, truly beautiful. Every good that you do, it never, ever, never goes to waste. You know, one who is blessed with this passion to spend his wealth in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is so fortunate. Whereas one, you know, running after the luxuries of this world and satisfying his nafs is like a slave of shaitan. Like Imam Al-Ghazali rahimahullah has mentioned in Ihya al-Ulum that when the first dinar and dirham, meaning coins of gold and silver, were made, shaitan, he picked them up, he kissed and put them on his forehead. And then he said that whoever loves you is my slave. Allahu Akbar. He was of Madani channel. Our pious predecessor, rahimahullah, they were truly blessed with the real wealth of contentment and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what we need to have. Our trust is placed on materialistic things. Our trust is placed on the commodities of this world. We need to place our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you would see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants you so much more barakah in your wealth. You know, you may be wondering that I'm stuck. What do I do? How do I get this money? How do I sort out my debt? The Holy Quran tells us a way for that. That way is to have taqwa, to have piety, to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because one who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make a way out for him, will create a way out for him from places which he could not even imagine. Taqwa is what we need. We need to place our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, make the effort. We have to make the effort. We have to strive. But our trust has to be in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and contentment. These two things, if you have contentment and contentment with whatever Allah ta'ala has decreed for you, whether less or more, and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have these two things, it will grant you success in this world, in the qabr, and in the hereafter, inshallah, azza wa jal. Until then, keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Reflection that guide both heart and mind. A better life through faith we'll find. A better life through faith we'll find. Reflections for the better life.